Direct your attention back again to John chapter 21, this last wonderful chapter of this wonderful gospel. I'm going to read again the first 14 verses, seeking to focus your attention in a different direction this afternoon, one that I'm not capable of fully opening up before you. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed or manifested himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish, which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed or manifested himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Well, may the Lord show us himself better in these verses this afternoon. You may be seated. In the morning message, I sought to challenge you with the question, what do you enjoy? By looking at five things that the disciples of the Lord, who had been fishing all night and caught nothing, gave evidence of enjoying and displaying. They enjoyed seeing the Lord. They enjoyed others seeing the Lord. They enjoyed expending effort to be with the Lord. They enjoyed displaying the truth of who they were appearing in the public presence of by what they were wearing. They enjoyed bringing all that the Lord had been pleased to give them into His holy presence. But as challenging as, and hopefully as beneficial as, considering these things this morning was, I hope, in this afternoon message, I want to attempt to do something that really is amazing. I want to attempt to do something that really is amazing. Now, why is it amazing? It is amazing because I am going to try and apply the same question that I put to you this morning to the one before whom you and I and all mankind will have to stand before on that great and awesome day of judgment that no one can miss. It is no wonder that James writes what he does in James 3:1 when he says, My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment. All who have ever lived are presently living, or who will ever yet live, will appear before the Lord when He returns, and will have to give an accounting to the Lord of glory, even every idle word. Matthew 12:36, But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But what if those words were not just idle, not just lazy, not just slothful, but did not honor the Lord of glory? I'm going to attempt to do an amazing thing. A fallen, redeemed sinner, daring to declare what brings enjoyment to the Lord of glory. Because this is what I'm going to attempt to do this afternoon with the Spirit's help, because what is one of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit? To take the things of Christ and make them known. John 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. So if what I say this afternoon is in accordance with the truth that the Holy Spirit has been pleased to reveal and declare about the Lord Jesus Christ, may He take what I dare to say and use what I dare to say for your edification and your blessing and even, dear brethren, your amazement and wonder. But where? Where? Where can a redeemed sinner find such wonderful truth? In the written Word of God. In the written Word of God, even the opening verses of John 21 that I want to focus your attention on for, I think, this last time, in this particular time. For in these verses can be seen five things, although I will mention a sixth that crosses over into that section, but I will only introduce it because it deserves its own consideration even more than once. But what right? What right do I have to say that I can dare declare what the Lord enjoys doing? Because of what He says through His prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all My pleasure. And I will do all My pleasure. Therefore, if the written Word of God shows the Lord Jesus Christ doing something, it is because it is His pleasure to do so. What an amazing subject. What an amazing subject. Can anyone hinder the Lord from doing the things that bring Him pleasure? Can anyone say to the Lord, you can't do that if it brings you pleasure. You're not going to be able to do that. No. No such being exists. Can anyone hinder the Lord from doing that which He enjoys doing? Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. For your enjoyment, they are and were created. So what can be said from these verses that the Lord enjoys doing? First, the Lord enjoys revealing Himself to His blood-bought children. The Lord enjoys revealing Himself to His blood-bought children. What a joy it must have been for these disciples of the Lord to see Him manifest Himself again among them. But why did He do so? Why did He do it? Because it was His good pleasure to do so. It brought Him enjoyment. The wonder of it. The mystery of it. The Lord knows everyone He died for. But not until that effectual time in the will of His Father and in the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit does He make Himself known. If there is joy in heaven, and there is, if there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, because the Lord has regenerated him or her to see their absolute need of Himself, what joy must there be for the one who died for them? For think of Joseph. Do you think he was not filled with joy when he could no longer withhold the truth of who he was to his brothers? The Lord Jesus Christ is your brother believer. And what joy must he experience every time he is pleased to reveal himself to a soul for whom he died. Because this is what you see in this passage. Jesus being pleased to manifest and reveal himself again to his disciples. Now some might foolishly say, what enjoyment can there be in this for the Lord? He knows all things. Yes, he does. But to think that the Lord cannot derive enjoyment from revealing himself to those he died for is to mean that there is something even a fallen sinner can enjoy that the Lord cannot. And that's foolishness. What do I mean? Well, I could illustrate this in many different ways. But let me give you a few. How many, to keep their minds sharp, and because they enjoy doing them, do puzzles of all various sorts? If you are one of them, I ask you, when you find the right piece, when you find the right word, when you find the right number, does the fact that you know it goes where it does this diminish your enjoyment of putting it there? No. You derive enjoyment from that. Or, to give you another illustration to bring this out, or some enjoy making things with their hands. Does your knowledge that if you do it a certain way, the right way, that it is going to turn out the way you want, diminish your enjoyment from seeing the finished work? No. To give you a simple example, a number of years back, I made what is called a weather station. It's got a little clock, it's got a little barometer, it's got a little temperature gauge, and it goes in a nice little wood case. I had to sand the case, I had to varnish it, I had to make everything, I had to put the varnish on and then the lacquer on top. Did I enjoy doing it? Yes. Did I know what was going to come out of it when it was finished? Yes. Did that diminish my enjoyment of knowing the outcome? Absolutely not. And in the same way, I know there are people here who enjoy making things with their hands. Do you enjoy making it yet? Do you know what the outcome is going to be? Yes. When you're finished, you say, well, I knew it was going to be that way anyway, so I don't enjoy it. No. You enter in to that enjoyment. The Lord knows who he died for, and in that effectual time, he brings them to salvation. If there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, how much joy must there be when the Lord opened the eyes of Paul in the Damascus Road to see the truth of who he is? Or when he opened your eyes, believer, he was filled with joy and enjoyment in the fact that the work of his for you on his cross was now being applied to your soul. Or, if I could give you one more example of what I mean. Does someone who has greater musical ability than I do, who labors to learn a piece of music, does his or her playing the piece the way it was meant to be played diminish their enjoyment of playing it correctly? You know the answer. Dear brethren, what is the greatest work of the Lord? What is the greatest work of the Lord? When he died for his sinful people, and he shall see what? He shall see what? The travail of his soul, and what? Be satisfied. When he reveals himself to everyone for whom he died, what satisfaction is going to flood the sinless soul of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord enjoys revealing himself to his people, as you see him here again, manifesting himself and calling out to his disciples. But this leads to a second thing that the Lord enjoys doing, which is really an expansion on this first point, is that He enjoys speaking to His children. He enjoys speaking to His children. For before He displays His knowledge of where every one of His fish are, what does He say to His tired, hungry disciples who have labored all night and caught nothing? John 21:5. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered Him, No. Now does Jesus not know that they have spent the whole night fishing and caught nothing? No. But He enjoys engaging His children in conversation, so that you might realize and rejoice in the wonderful personal nature of God. For read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. And what do you see? You see Jesus not only teaching, but conversing. Not only teaching, but conversing with His disciples so that they might see Him better. And what a sad time we live in, dear brethren. Buddhism is popular in China. And it has become very popular in the Western world. That doesn't testify to the intelligence of the Chinese or of those in the West embracing this teaching, but how dark and depraved the human heart and mind is apart from the grace and mercy of God. For there is no personal God who enjoys speaking to His children in Buddhism. Buddhism is essentially atheistic, because in the false teaching of Buddhism, God is all. The goal in Buddhism is to be assumed back into the all with the loss of individual personality. And God is certainly not personal. But what do you see the Lord doing here? Personally speaking to His children. And what do they display? The different personal ways they respond to His speaking to them. John says, it is the Lord. Peter immediately puts on his fisher coat and jumps into the water. And others come in the boat. And there's an interesting verse among many interesting verses in Revelation that may speak to this truth. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. All in glory will be able to personally enjoy communion and fellowship with the Lord. But that communion and that fellowship will be unique to each of Christ's redeemed children. And remember, the Lord enjoys speaking to His children through His Word. He enjoys speaking to His children through His Word. And so how can you know the blessing of Him speaking to you if you are not listening for Him in His Word? If you have not known, and if you do not want to know the blessing of reading His Word and hear Him speak to you and reveal Himself to you in a new and better way, then are you really one of His blood-bought children? A child wants to hear the Father speak. The child, were these disciples desirous of hearing the Lord speak to them? The Lord not only reveals Himself to His children, the Lord not only speaks to His children and enjoys doing it, but third, the Lord enjoys providing for His children. The Lord enjoys providing for His children, because what does He do after they have labored all night and caught nothing? What does He do? He simply tells them to cast their net on the right side of the ship and they will find. Do you think that the Lord does not enjoy showing us how He can provide exceedingly above all that we ask or imagine or think? Do you think that He did not enjoy all the healings that He did while He walked on the earth? There was one born blind and He opened his eyes. There was one who could not hear and He opened his ears. There was one who could not walk and He raised him up. There was one who was dead and He raised him from the dead. Do you think the Lord did not enjoy doing this? To testify to the truth of who He is. He provides for His children. If I was to ask you what one of the most dangerous besetting sins that we can so easily succumb to is, even repeatedly, is the sin of complaining. It is the sin of complaining, the sin of thinking the Lord doesn't know what we need when we need it. For was this not the sin of the children of God in the wilderness that they were so prone to? Are you bringing your wants and the things you think you need to the Lord because He can provide exceedingly above all that we ask or imagine or think, and He enjoys doing it? Casting all your cares upon Him because He careth for you and can show you that His grace is made sufficient in your weakness. Fourth, the Lord enjoys acknowledging the labor His children expend with the things that He has given them. Why do I say this? Well, what does Jesus say in verse 10? Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. But who directed them to them, those fish? The Lord did. And yet, as they enter into His presence, what does He say unto them? Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. What do you have that you did not receive? Does that include the fish that these disciples were bringing to the Lord? Yes. But notice, Jesus acknowledges their labor in bringing the fish that He has provided for them. What does Paul say in the section we are in 2 Corinthians? The Lord loves what? A cheerful giver. But you're only giving back to Him what He has given you. They are only bringing back into His presence the fish that He has enabled them to catch. And yet He says, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. But that does not prevent Him from loving and enjoying the one who brings it willingly and with joy. Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Is not an aspect of that reward the blessing of knowing that you can bring joy to your Redeemer, believer? He or she cares about my blood-bought body. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. When you bring what the Lord has given you into His presence to be used by Him as He sees fit, the Lord is not only glorified, but seeing the results of His finished work for His sinful people. Because what is something that the non-believer does not enjoy doing and does not do? He does not acknowledge that all he has is from the Lord. But you, believer, willingly acknowledge this, and the Lord is no miser, refusing to acknowledge and even enjoy His children who willingly bring everything He has been pleased to give them to be blessed by Him and used by Him as He sees fit. Fifth, the Lord enjoys being with His children. The Lord enjoys being with His children. Oh, the wonder of redeeming love. What right do I have to say this? Well, what does Jesus say to His children in verse 12? Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Because I'll ask you, what is one of the clearest ways that you can show you enjoy being in the company of someone else? What is one of the clearest ways you can show you enjoy being in the company of someone else? You invite them to share a meal with you. You invite them to sit down at a table with you and enjoy a meal. Jesus enjoys being with His children. Jesus enjoys His blood-bought children so much that he is not going to sit down and enjoy his marriage supper until every one of them is brought to saving faith in him. What enjoyment will be experienced by all who personally respond to his gracious and merciful invitation to come and dine with him forever. Psalm 149 verse 4, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." What do you see our Lord doing here? Come and dine. He enjoys being with his people. Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to sit at thy table. I'm not worthy to gather up the crumbs at your table. It's not your worthiness. It's not your worthiness, my child, but my wonderful grace and mercy and redeeming love that makes you fit to eat at my table so that you can enjoy the truth of who I am forever. Because, dear brother, what is precious in the sight of the Lord? Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Why? Because he enjoys being in the company of those he died for and separates from all the remnants of the remaining sin when someone for whom he died dies. That's why I said, going back to John 17, that's why I've said there reaches a point where a Christ-honoring, God-honoring prayer, when you pray for the health or the healing of a loved one who is confessing Christ, that prayer will eventually be overruled by the Lord of glory. Why? Because it reaches a point where he wants that believer in his presence. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because he enjoys. He enjoys the company of those he died for. Come and dine. And what will happen when he returns? 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. On that great day, every true believer will know the blessing of having responded to the Lord's call of coming to him. All you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest in a way that is not possible now. And every non-believer will realize what other folly it was to think that they didn't need to come unto the Lord and dine. But between now and then, there is something that the Lord enjoys doing for his blood-bought children as they fight against the world, the devil, and their flesh. And that is the sixth thing that I will only mention and return to in the Lord's good providence next week. The Lord enjoys forgiving his children. The Lord enjoys forgiving his children. Because what does Jesus do in the next section that I can only touch on? He forgives Peter. Yes, he probes Peter's heart. But the very fact that Jesus would ask this of Peter three times with the response, "Feed my sheep," is evidence that he has forgiven him. Because the last one the Lord would employ in feeding his weak, feeble and easily tripped up sheep is someone who does not know that they have been forgiven of the Lord. Why were all the apostles able to be used so wonderfully by the Lord? Because they understood the joy of having been forgiven by the forgiving Lord. Weak sheep, sinful sheep, need someone who understands the weakness of their own hearts and the amazing forgiving grace and mercy of the Lord. Jesus enjoyed forgiving Peter because he knew how he could use a forgiven sheep in helping other forgiven sheep when they stumble. Do you bring enjoyment to the Lord By not only saying, Lord, you know I love you because you first loved me, but because you know who the Lord is, you will give him the name Jesus. Because why? He will save his people. He will save his children from their sins. Why was not only Peter but Paul able to be used of the Lord? Because he understood how great a Savior the Lord Jesus Christ was to him. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That is why these foolish cult members who walk around with their signs and say God hates fags are showing they don't even understand the gospel. Because, dear brethren, if God truly hated homosexuals, if he truly hated sodomites, you know what he wouldn't do? He wouldn't tell us in the Word that it was sin. He'd leave them to go on in their sin and not hear the wonderful gospel and be drawn by the Spirit unto salvation and faith. And such were some of you. If God hated sinners, he would never show us what sin is. If God hated sinners, he would never have shown us the truth of what sin, impenitent sin, will result in. Jesus was called what? The friend of sinners. And how did he show us that he's the friend of sinners? He forgives us and cleanses us and washes us in his precious blood. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Lord enjoys forgiving his sinful people. Because I mentioned this earlier, but who can measure the enjoyment the Lord experienced when he applied the truth of his finished work for Paul on the Damascus Road through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God. A joy he experiences when he brings everyone he died for to saving faith in himself. Do you know the blessing? Do you know the joy of bringing joy to the Savior of sinners by unashamedly crying out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner? And you are a source of joy to the Lord. You are a source of joy to the Lord because he will look upon the travail of his soul and be satisfied for all those he died for. May you be such a sinner. A sinner that brings joy to the Lord, both now and forever. A forgiven sinner that brings joy to the Lord, both now and forever. May you know that blessing and be a source of joy to the Savior of the world. Let us pray.